The nation's highest court is set to rule on whether Western Australia's indefinite detention law is unconstitutional and disproportionately impacts First Nations people. Under the High Risk Offenders Act, if an inmate convicted of a serious offence is assessed to be a high risk, their incarceration can be extended with no end date, literally indefinitely. WA has the highest rate of Indigenous incarceration in Australia and the second highest rate of deaths in custody. Just last weekend, a 32-year-old Aboriginal man became the latest to die in prison. Dr. Hannah McGlade is an Noongar woman and an associate professor at Curtin University Law School and our guest this morning. Dr. McGlade, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Patricia.
You sought this High Court challenge on behalf of a Noongar man, Peter Gartlett. How did the law impact his life?
He was convicted of one offence as an adult, a robbery-related offence, and after he served his time of imprisonment, he was detained under this law, along with growing numbers of other, particularly young Aboriginal men. And it was incredibly cruel for him. He had no release date. He's a young man with a father and a loving partner. So we opposed the order in relation to him, and we did manage to get him out of prison. But he's just lost his cousin brother on the weekend, who's been subjected to these laws since he was a child, also with Peter at the Bankshire Detention Centre. We're being told now that prisoners are very concerned, feeling very, they're anguishing because they're languishing in there, and there is a risk of more suicide because they don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. This is such cruel treatment.
On what grounds do you argue the High Risk Offenders Act is actually unconstitutional?
Well, the legal team have argued that it breaches a chapter of the Constitution, which is about the way that states use laws, and they have to they can't be tied in a way that makes it so unreasonable, that gives them makes them use it non-judicially, that it's really gone too far. This is a power that's come from a High Court decision called Cable. It's probably best left to constitutional lawyers to explain it to you, but I think it's an important safeguard. We don't have many rights at all in our Constitution. We do need a charter or a Bill of Rights, but we're saying this law has just stepped too far. It's a fundamental principle of justice that a person should really never receive two sentences for the same crime or indefinite sentencing in this manner for robbery-related offences. Peter stole $20 and a woman's necklace. He pretended to have a weapon. A psychiatrist who evaluated his crime said they were juvenile in nature. She noted that a man's brain is not actually mature till 30, and that Peter had never really been given a chance. There'd been millions of dollars, I think, spent by the state on Peter since his childhood in such a punitive manner, locking him up in very harsh conditions.
Why does this disproportionately impact First Nations people?
Well, Aboriginal people have such high rates of incarceration, and that certainly has been a feature of Australia's society since colonisation, when people were being locked up for resisting laws to make them slaves, basically, to indenture them to work for the pastoral stations. There is certainly, you know, a history of racial discrimination and racism within our legal system. It is ongoing. It hasn't been tackled. You know, this land was taken without a treaty, without any proper reparations for Indigenous people who've been severely marginalised in a socioeconomic sense, of course, since. And, of course, we have trauma, et cetera. So those are factors, in addition to, obviously, racial profiling and systemic discrimination in the justice system today. And that's been acknowledged by the highest judges in the land. Our former Supreme Court judge talked about the way that Aboriginal people fare worse at every system of the legal system. It's proven, really, that you know, racism is alive and well, you know, in our law and justice system.
It became law in June 2020. Do you know how many people are being held indefinitely under this Act and whether they fit this definition of a high-risk offender?
I don't have any numbers. The attorney, when he announced the law, said up to 1,100 prisoners could be affected. And we know, we thought with the numbers of Aboriginal prisoners, that would mean at least 700 Aboriginal prisoners. But we know that they haven't reached that yet, but we don't know. Certainly, people that are being put under these orders have not been violent criminals. Peter certainly did not ever murder anyone or rape anyone. These laws really were introduced originally for dangerous repeat sex offenders, people who were, you know, unable almost to stop themselves from offending against women and children. But now it's extended to people who are committing, a host of other crimes. Peter stole $20 in a woman's necklace. How does he end up in a prison indefinitely? And the case against him collapsed with two expert witnesses, one who had, couldn't support the state's case at all, as a very highly qualified psychiatrist.
A High Court ruling is expected imminently. What finding could they deliver?
We hope that they find, our case is that they find the law to be unconstitutional, not consistent with the Commonwealth Constitution, and that will mean the law is invalid and cannot apply. That should mean the very fast release of those prisoners who have served their term of, sentence and are now being held under these orders. We hope it's a big wake-up call if we win to the West Australia government, who's continuing to treat Aboriginal people in a really violent manner and leading to deaths of custody. It's, the contempt, really, to Aboriginal human rights here, is staggering.
Last weekend, an Aboriginal man died in a West Australian prison. It's another death in custody. How is this impacting the community?
Well, particularly for his families and our primary applicant in this case, Peter Garlett, who's known him, he's his brother. Peter came out of jail a few months back. He lost a father, a stepfather, and now his brother. And this young man had a partner he was going to marry. He had children. They're very traumatised, obviously. And for our community, we feel that prisons are a place that kill Aboriginal people, and that the state government is really involved in doing this. How are Aboriginal people able to die so easily in West Australia prisons today? We had a Royal Commission 30 years ago that made many important recommendations, which have been ignored for this time, all this time, from the importance of Aboriginal self-determination to the need to make sure that prisons don't have hanging points. But they still do. Labor in opposition promised a national justice reinvestment body on the 30th anniversary, and they said they'd put $90 million to that to support diversion and justice reinvestment for Aboriginal people to reduce this staggering rate of overrepresentation. And we do urgently need to see action on this.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Patricia.
Dr. Hannah McGlade is a Noongar woman and an associate professor at Curtin University Law School.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.